Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And welcome to the Christmas episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where we take cocktails and unsolved mysteries and we solve them. That's what we do. That's the
show. Not today.
But not today. Not today. With me, as always, is the fantastic Suze Kempner.
Hello. Not today.
Not today.
I'm here today, amazing, but not today.
You are here today, but not today. And the amazing Chris Stokes. I'm Masood Miles. Welcome, hello. Yes, a little special Christmas episode for you. We thought you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Special pants for Christmas in case you shit a missmas.
Is that a family thing? Is that a thing?
That's a rejected song from the show Wrong Songs that I performed last week.
And
I
was just it actually?
Yeah, we rejected it. That's a great song. That's like. Some of the songs in that show, we rejected that. We kept in a song that goes, I'm on the blob, I'm on the blob, I'm on the blob, I'm on the blob, but you can take me up the shit pipe.
All right.
That stayed, but...
Special pants for shitmas.
The tune of it was, special pants for Christmas in case I shit and missmas.
I mean, what a lovely...
Great days.
Do you have the lyrics for it?
I will print them up for you, but I'm going to watermark them in case you try and steal them and say they're your own.
No. Those, I'm not one of those.
Talent borrows, genius steals.
thank you, Chris.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
It's like that same thing of like, you know, when they have two Hollywood movies, when they have like
Armageddon,
Deep Impact and Armageddon, yeah.
Yeah.
Which one was better though? Which one was better?
Deep Impact.
I was as well. I thought Deep Impact was...
I think even as a teenage boy... Even though he should have spoken to me, I had an aversion to Michael Bay.
Really? Yeah.
That's interesting.
Do you know
good on you, though, because he's weird.
I saw Armageddon in the cinema in America.
What?
Bet you didn't know that I was a big shot. Yeah, we went to the cinema in America and Deep Impact
the
was
one cinema
out.
In America.
We went to the cinema. You know? It's called the Cinema of the Americas. It was in Connecticut, which is where my cousins live, and I just remember there's a bit where they go, I want to shake the hand. This is the only time I've ever seen Armageddon, I should add. I was 13. I want to shake the hand of the bravest American I've ever met, and something like that. And all these Americans around, cause I saw it with my dad, can you imagine? We looked around and all these Americans were like crying, like amazing. Oh, some people teared up. Everyone in the cinema was like wiping their eyes. They were so teared up. The patriotism was strong in there, and I can remember being 13 looking around thinking, this is fucking stupid. And my dad was like,
that's fucking wow. To be in that room, I mean, that's so... I don't... The only time I think I've ever cried at a movie was probably Toy Story 3.
Oh, I mean, God, I cry in movies, but I love crying in movies. Fucking hell, I've been watching Christmas movies all month. I've cried every day.
It's which one would you say is your... Because you put up Christmas Chronicles and Sarah and Lucy watched both 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
And you've watched both of them, right?
So
you've
watched Christmas 1 and 2.
I quite enjoyed the first one. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I thought it was so lovely.
It's Chris, you know, it's fucking Kurt Russell, whatever.
Kurt Russell is a sylph.
Oh.
Him and Attenborough, yeah?
Oh, no. Oh. He's one of the great on-screen Santas. If that film, I said it at the time, but the film's only 2 years old. If that film had come out in the 90s, it would be seen as a Christmas classic.
We didn't mention this when we covered the Natalie Wood case, but she was the little girl in A Miracle on 34th Street, wasn't she?
Oh, in the 40s one, the 49 one.
Oh, my God.
Is it 48, 49?
Age 8, she was in A Miracle on 34th Street.
Wow. Do you know what? I am, I'm not a religious person. So I think all my religion, that I may have had as a kid is now just all about Santa. So although I obviously don't believe in Santa, I remember the purity of believing in Santa. So if I see a nice Santa Claus, I'm fucking gone. You're like, Jesus, he's never going to fiddle any of those kids. It's fucking Santa, man. Even Tim Allen as Santa, Tim Allen, what a piece of shit. In November, he basically said that sweatshops are good. Tim Allen in the Santa Claus, he's so charismatic. And at the end, when he's like, I love my son and every other child, and I'm a nice Santa. I was like, I'm fucking gone, man.
Is that the actual dialogue?
That's it. He said, I love my son and I'm love a nice every Santa.
Because it nice sounds, it sounds defensive. It sounds like something a diddler would say.
You're fucking right. Santa. I'm so gone. Brilliant Stevie Martin. We should have her on the podcast actually when we start having guests again. She said, it doesn't take much. However, it doesn't take much to make her cry. However, she's guaranteed to burst into tears if she sees a sleigh led by reindeer suddenly rise into the air. And I was like, this Christmas, my film viewing habits is fucking proof of that.
I think I've got a heart of stone then. Christmas movies.
You're probably just not a sap. I'm a sap.
I think also something happened when you have kids, you're like, all of that stuff is gone, like all of that build, like that fucking wall. I'm just like, usually I'm like, whatever, man. And now I'm just like, we went to watch Toy Story 4 when Lucy was like under about, she was like just under one, she must have been like 11 months or something. And Sarah's like, oh, maybe you, it's like for a joke, she's like, maybe you should explain the story of Toy Story to Lucy. I was like, yeah, sure thing. I explained it. By the time I got to Toy Story 3, I was crying.
That's so sweet. And I'm just like, that's so sweet.
The bit of the and she's like, you're not even watching the movie. I'm like, yeah, I know.
I don't have any kids. I've got my two cats, but I went on Twitch. These fucking cats. I went on Twitch the day I'd seen Home Alone and then told them about watching Home Alone. I mean, I've seen it before, but I hadn't watched it since I was a kid. So I hadn't watched it probably since I was 13, 14. And I told Twitch about Home Alone and I was describing the last scene and how much I had cried 3 hours beforehand. And I cried again. I was like, I'm on Twitch and I'm tearing up. And I was like, I don't know. And it's not like I'm going, but I was going, I can't help it. I'm sorry. It's so incredible. It's so brilliantly done. I was wiping my eyes.
I didn't realize I was doing a podcast with a pair of nerds.
Oh, Chris. Look at Chris. Chris is like, my favourite Christmas movie is Mean Streets.
My favourite Christmas movie is Irreversible. The one with Monica Bellucci. Are you fucking mad?
My favourite Christmas movie is Armageddon. I don't mind. It's a wonderful... I say I don't mind. It's a Wonderful Life is fucking amazing.
It's so brilliant.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. Christmas movies just feel like they were going to make a Christmas movie first and then didn't make it good enough to justify it being a metal movie.
Chris.
Wow, yeah. Chris.
See, I agree with him, but also, if a reindeer with a sleigh rises into the air, I'm like, movie, you did it.
It is my favourite bit in Armageddon. It's how they get to the asteroid, famously, isn't it?
It's they just...
I want to break the hand of the flimsiest Santa I've ever met.
I love the idea of people on set, they're like, okay, and then the sleigh goes up, and everyone's like, no, I'm sorry, I can't.
I do like the Always Sunny Christmas episode.
You've seen it, of course. It's the end of season 6. I'd forgotten how dark that episode gets.
Yeah. Well, they can swear. They can properly swear because it was released on DVD and not on TV, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, like that they don't swear, they hold back. Like the worst they'll say is shit or...
Yeah, they'll say shit and piss.
It's so puritanical, swearing in America.
It's so weird. Yeah, especially, we were watching a show and when they say cunt on it, I'm like, oh!
Whoa!
Because when you hear it, I think it's like.
Do you do that to yourself?
You hear it like cover twice in the entirety of The Sopranos, and that was on for what, like 8 years
or
whatever?
I remember Uncle Junior falls over in the shower and he goes, "Your mother's cunt."
Yeah,
and
that's right. Yeah, that's
I was like 16 and I went,
So actually, there's three. Yeah. Tony Soprano says it, and then another character says it. I don't want to say who, because
don't want to say who.
Only because it's a spoiler.
The C-bomb used to be few and far between.
It's everywhere now. I can always remember it in watching American Beauty in the cinema when I was 14. Too young to see it.
This is the year after Armageddon. Oh my god!
Oh my god! I was back in the cinema, but this time just in the plain old.
It's in Silence of the Lambs, isn't it?
Yes.
He makes Clarice say it. Yeah, he's like, what did he say?
He said, "I can smell your cunt." I just did a really good
excellent, excellent Clarice really styling. Yeah.
We just discovered that I do a good Jodie Foster, and the fact is, there's no hook, so good for me. There's no hook with that impression. I'm a genius.
That was really impressive. Good. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
I was watching the fucking movie. I was just like, I can smell it. I go, Merry Christmas, I can smell it.
That's Chris on Christmas morning. Go back
to Christmas every year. You ruin it every year.
Yeah, why do you have to do this? Give me something else to say as Jodie Foster. I'll do it.
It's an honour to shake the hand of the bravest American.
Oh, yes, that's it.
It's an honour to shake the hand of the bravest American I've ever met.
Wow.
I can add it to the collection of five voices. What was I going to say? Burp. That's what I was going to say. What are we drinking?
On our Christmas episode last year, we all had a Mystery on the Rocks original, which was a Father Smokemas.
It's just a joint.
It was sherry cask smokehead, sweet vermouth, and maraschino liqueur. So I've done it again, but instead of using sweet vermouth, I've used rosé vermouth.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck? Wow. That's a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's,
is it? Where can I get it?
Go online. Or why don't you just wait for a sleigh to take off with reindeer?
Stop it! No, stop it! Because, no, don't. Because if you go, I'll go. No, don't. No, don't.
It's better with the rosé vermouth.
Oh, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Wow.
So would you use, I guess you'd use rosé vermouth in place of sweet vermouth.
I don't understand.
It's like white and red wine. There's a rosé version of vermouth.
Yeah, so it's not. They haven't mixed the two together because suddenly I was like, I've got both. I can mix them together. It's like, shut up.
I thought that as well.
Shut up.
No, that's not how you make rosé.
No.
Why don't you just put them in?
Mix them up.
What are you drinking, Suze?
Oh, I have got. It's called a Waterloo Sunset. So, what was on offer? Down my local supermarket, Saint Germain. Saint Germain was on offer, £17 down from £25, and I went, do you know what? It'll be a nice addition to my collection. So Saint Germain is elderflower liqueur, gin, top it up with Prosecco. Children! And then in the top, just a little dash of Chambord. And you have yourself a little Waterloo Sunset.
That's nice.
Very
nice.
Mm.
That sounds very, very nice.
And then you fucking finished it.
He's writing it down.
Look at Oh my god, Masood, did I do it? Because do you know what? He doesn't write down when I go, right, what I've got is a snowball. I've added some synthetic cream, but it's not actually cream.
I think I've only been notebooked by Masood twice. Oh. It's a nice feeling, Suze.
A Waterloo Sunset. It's a genuine cocktail, though. I didn't make it up, obviously. I looked up Saint Germain cocktails because I didn't want to waste it in that beautiful bottle.
What are you drinking, Masood?
I've got a Ace cocktail, which comprises...
All right, brag.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's fucking great.
Show
it's
off.
Really good.
It's Ace, baby.
It's fucking Ace. It's got gin, grenadine, some cream, an egg white. And lemon juice, and then some grated nutmeg on top.
Wow! So it's a little bit festive.
Yeah, it's not a million miles away from an eggnog.
It's like a festive little icy eggnog. You drink it in Fiji. The holiday destination of Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon in 2008's Four Christmases, the Christmas movie I watched today. It is Not a good movie. However, I laughed several times. Fine. Do you know what would add to this Christmas special?
What?
My cat crying into the mic.
Hey, go on then.
Let's see if I can make her cry.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Imagine if I like, what were they doing? And I'm like, I was just sticking pins in her. I'm just holding her and she hates it. She's so rubbish. Cool. Crying Brian. I watched last night with my American pals, Cats.
Oh, the terrible one with Judi Dench.
Yeah, it's fucking awful. Everything you've heard about it is true and more. It's terrible. Everything about it is terrible. But really? Every cat in the movie is like Skimbleshanks, the railway cat, Gus, the theatre cat, and I've got Brian, the crying cat. And Freddy had to go out during the film, so he was Freddy, the shitting cat. Lucy hates cats. I can hear in the background.
Yeah, she hates it so much. Yeah. She's like, I'll show you. Because, I mean, it could be worse. It could be, like, changing in the middle of a fucking cafe because the toilet's...
Yeah, and she like, and you got, like, shit up your arm.
Yeah, you're, like, you're a comedian. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I just got shat on, literally. David Baddiel talked about how he was... his kid needed to go to the toilet when she was, like, three or two or three. And so he... took her into the men's toilets because he's a man, so he can't walk into the... So he took a little girl into the men's toilets in a shopping centre and he got her into the cubicle and he managed to get her tights off when she just... And there were other people in the toilet and she just went out loud, David Baddiel!
Oh, shit.
And he'd been trying to be as inconspicuous as possible because he was so aware he'd taken a little girl into the toilet.
Fucking hell. You almost... That sort of does happen, like, where you were... So, luckily, we're just changing her and changing rooms at the moment, right?
Yeah.
But there is a point where you're just like... It's going to be a point where I, as a man, will have to walk into a men's toilet with...
With a small like, girl.
Listen, everybody. Okay? This is my daughter.
Hey, mate, you can't bring her in. This is a safe space. Yes, you can't bring her in here. This is our safe space. Yes, I come in here to, well, piss and shit, but also feel safe. I come in here to feel safe, first and foremost, yeah?
If you're feeling safe in a toilet, you really have to fucking reassess your life joy. When you're sat in a toilet... I never feel safe in here. I never feel safe in.
I hope you're happy with yourself now, mate. I can't perform. I've been needing this piss for 3 hours. Can't fucking go now. Thanks very much, pal.
I don't feel safe in my own toilet, let alone any toilet ever. Why is this a safe space for people?
That's very good. What are you guys doing for Christmas? Because now we're all locked down. We're all in tier four.
Yeah, we're all tier four.
What are we all going to do for Christmas?
What we were going to do. I don't know whether we didn't see tier four coming. I mean, right. we did for a few days beforehand. But we'd already made plans. We said to family, it was like, I don't think it's a good idea to all make them now. So let's not. So we had this sort of like, we'll just have Christmas at home. Mm. And now we're forced to, but it doesn't feel like we've been forced to because it feels like it was our choice.
Yeah, we were going to do this anyway.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Are you at home, Masood? Because you were going to go away, weren't you?
We were going to go away, and so that's kind of weird to be like, oh, but then also because we have Lucy, it's like, haha, we have a family Christmas here anyway. But we sent some of our stuff to.
Oh
yeah, of course. Hey, Masood, you get to play with toys at Christmas again now.
Oh, it's great. What a dream. I mean, I get to play with toys pretty much every day.
Yeah. When she hits action figure age.
Oh, man.
I'm saying this now. It has to be action figures she wants, Masood, and not ones you want.
Oh, what? Yeah, but they're selling Stretch Armstrong again, Chris. I really, really want it. I never had it.
Shit. Do you remember Mr. Frosty? I don't know, Masood, you slightly different because you weren't here, but when me and Chris were kids, certainly the big toy was Mr. Frosty. Like, if you had a Mr. Frosty, you were fucking legendary.
Was that a machine? A little Frosty machine? Slushy machine.
Yeah.
I've heard of this.
By the time it came out, I learned not to ask for that kind of thing.
Yeah, same.
The one thing, it was a big toy one Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only time I ever got the big toy at Christmas. It was called Intercom City. right?
Intercom City. It sounds like you'd have it in an office. Like, yeah, we've got Intercom City.
You'd think it was sort of, well, you get to play receptionist. It's like call on line two. It wasn't that. It was called Intercom City because a mini city with like buildings and roads and everything that you move your cars around and the mechanics and whatever. But when it went over a certain sensor, a sound would happen.
Oh,
I'm into it.
Yeah, so even got a Mizan.
And then you drive a car over a little bit of it, and it would go needs repairs, and then you take it to the garage, it get repaired, and then it'd be like, and then all the noise of that.
That is incredible.
If a That's building cool. caught fire, which didn't actually Lit catch fire, it would light up inside, look like it was on fire. There were people.
I want it to be on fucking fire.
Yeah.
Google it, because there were...
Matchbox.
One of the buildings would catch fire. It was always the same building, because obviously this boy wasn't that advanced. It was the 90s.
It
would light up from inside, and then it would look like it was on flames, and there'd be people at the windows.
Oh, whoa, shit.
Jesus Christ.
This is intense. I found it. It's on eBay for £50.
Really? I should have kept it.
Oh, man. Yeah. You'd be sitting on a gold mine now, Chris. Police Unit 21, fire alarm at city centre.
Yeah, it was the fire alarm at city centre. That was it. Look, you can see it on the box. You can see it on the box.
Yeah.
Intercom.
Fire unit, please send helicopter. Police Unit 21 needs assistance. So it was based mostly around fire.
It was hazard.
Hazard, okay.
Intercom.
Matchbox.
Jesus,
I remember this.
It's nuts. Yeah, I've seen one for £65. This is crazy. Because when you guys were talking about Mr. Frosty, on Argos, it's like it's £18. I'm like, I can't buy that.
You can buy Mr. Frosty again. Like nostalgia means you can buy Mr. Frosty again. It was so Mr. Frosty. My friend Nick Merrick at school, he got a Mr. Frosty. And he knew he was getting one. So on the build-up to the Christmas holidays, he was like, I'm getting a Mr. Frosty. And we were like, shit, man, this is going to be incredible in January when we see him. So he opened it, was like, oh, my God. And his mum said, okay, but we have to make ice so you can use ice with it. So she filled the ice tray with water, put it in the freezer. And in the meantime, he'd gone, I'm not fucking waiting for that. So he went outside, filled it with mud and rocks and broke it.
So he, oh my God, the fact he's like, I'm not waiting for that. So he filled it with things that would break it.
Yeah. He was like, I'll practice with it by filling it with stones and mud.
What a fucking dingus.
Mr. Frosty, cool, because he couldn't wait like an hour for some ice cubes. But that's like being a kid, isn't it?
You can buy, because Mr. Frosty is just a ice crusher, isn't it? So you can buy that for £18, but you can also buy an actual ice crusher for $12.99. And like part of me goes like, I mean, obviously you wouldn't do that.
Is it shaped like a snowman?
No, it's shaped like a plastic bar ice crusher. as in like one that you'd have in a bar. And so obviously you wouldn't like the idea of buying that for a kid versus buying Mr. Frosty because it's cheaper. Feels very much like we're just saying how you can buy an actual ice crusher.
It's something your mum would do, Masood.
Yeah, 100%. Too bad. You want Mr. Frosty? This is the same thing.
Like, I'll make it a smiley face.
I mean, yeah, she draws like gets a Sharpie and draws like a snowman.
But mum, it's not shaped like a snowman.
look, a carrot knows ice and coal. Which is what you would have gotten if you don't keep complaining.
The best Christmas present I ever got was, I think it was my 7th or 8th birthday. Birthday? Christmas. 7th or 8th Christmas. I got a julep, which was a make of toys which were all horses. I got a julep stables set, and it was quite a cruel thing because it was a beautiful wooden stables. So two stables, and then you got a horse and a rider, and the horse had all its tack and its rug and its bandages and everything, because horses have to wear bandages on their legs to keep them warm at night. And I just was like, this is so amazing. However, there were two stables, and I never got another julep horse to go in the other stable.
Oh my God.
So I used to very diligently use the other stable for storage. I'd be like, that is where his tack goes. It is a tack room. It's where his feed goes. Like, you can't feed this horse. It is a toy.
Best toy I ever had, Ghostbusters Fire Station.
Oh, Ghostbusters Firehouse. Chris loved toys that were on fire.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters Firehouse was cool, though, because it had a hole all the way through it. with like a lattice thing on every single floor, and then you could get pots of gunk, put it on the top, and then the slime would drip down.
Those are the ghosts, Chris. Pots of gunk. Those are the ghosts.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's a ghost, mate.
You were that's messing with forces.
Ectoplasm. Do like game consoles count as toys? Because did you guys say?
I guess.
Because I got a because I would kind of separate them because I got a Game Gear for Christmas once.
Oh wow!
I don't know if I'd count that.
No, I never got one. We got the PlayStation in '98, but that was just my dad bought it for himself.
That's hilarious.
It wasn't Christmas.
I got a shitty controller once for my PlayStation, which was like. It was two parts. The controller was in two parts, but it twisted in the middle.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
It was like a third party peripheral. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was called something. Oh, man. What was that controller called? I remember it was always being advertised in like the PlayStation magazines. I was talking about the PlayStation magazines the other day on one of my streams. The other magazine I used to get was PlayStation Plus, which was an unofficial one.
Didn't that have tits in it?
Yeah. It was one of those like half lads mag, half... computer console.
Yeah, those are fucking dreadful.
And I used to get it and I used to buy it and take it to school like, yeah, I read PlayStation Plus. And they had things in it like page 49, these girls love to game and fuck. They didn't use those words. But yeah, I used to read those articles and be like, one day I'll be just like those girls and then feel terrible about myself afterwards. But yeah. I would not put that down to the magazine. What a load of shit.
I remember there was in one of those types of magazines, I remember Philip Wood coming into school with an issue of it. All of his mates were huddled around it and he was going, And basically there was an article that tells you where to find all of the nudie lady pictures in Duke Nukem.
Oh my god, it's so pathetic.
That's fucking
funny. Yes, we could go there.
Look at I'm like, it's pathetic, and Masu's like, yeah, where were they?
Masuda's got his notebook out again.
Yeah!
The third and only time. Hang on, what was... Okay, so... I found the name of that controller, by the way. It's called...
What is it?
Negcon?
Yes!
Oh, God, I remember this.
David Harper had it!
Yeah. NE, capital N, capital G, C-O-N. Small,
the Negcon. That's what I call my trolls on Twitter.
I've got to say, I had the PlayStation 1, had about two or three fun years of gaming on that, like Gex the Gecko.
Gex! Yes.
And then at uni, either Matt or Chris, my housemates, one of them had a PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And I played Grand Theft Auto 3. A lot on that.
I gotcha.
But that was about it. And even then, it was sort of like, it was just in the shared living room, and it wasn't even mine. And then last Christmas, we got an Xbox One.
Yeah.
Ah.
And the games on that blew my fucking mind.
Yeah, things have come a long way, haven't they?
I hadn't played video games in like 15 years.
Yeah.
And then it was like, fuck.
It's nuts, isn't it? It's crazy. See, I'm such a nerd. I pretty much stayed up with it most of the time, but skipped a couple of generations, but mostly financially because consoles are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember the first time I saw... I had flatmates who would have consoles. And the first time I think I saw, like... when you had an N64 and I was just like, whoa!
Yeah.
And pilot wings and I was like, you can fly in a helicopter.
It's an awful fucking day. Bananas.
I was like, oh, you can parachute. What? It's hard as balls.
I don't have my finger on the pulse when it comes to gaming developments because I remember loving Grand Theft Auto on PlayStation 1.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's so crude and it's sort of like the overhead. And
yeah, it looks like Atari graphics.
And then Grand Theft Auto 3 was going to be like 3D, third person, and I was like, well, that's That's totally ruined what Grand Theft Auto is.
It was meant to be a top-down bullshit game.
That's not the essence of Grand Theft Auto. And then it became
Chris,
like...
Chris, like a sommelier? You're just like...
Yeah, like a puritanical...
But then, like, obviously, I played Grand Theft Auto 3 on PlayStation 2 at uni, and I was like, yeah, do you know what, it's not so bad. I still don't think it's Grand Theft Auto, though. and then I played Grand Theft Auto 5 on the Xbox One, and I was like, oh, I don't care. It's fucking, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
You're impressive.
I literally love that, Chris, as well, that you had this whole thing of, like, no, the essence of Grand Theft Auto.
It's true. Because I remember, like, even the first Grand Theft Auto was unlike any game I'd ever played at that point.
Yeah, it was super indie as well.
And I know that means my experience was limited, but it was sort of cool. You just... used to go. Do you remember what the noise the gun used to make when you used to shoot? And, it was like dots of bullets would come out.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And all the cars had different radio stations.
Yeah,
and
there was one awesome. Do you know what's still lodged into my brain is when you'd tune it to the hillbilly station.
Yeah, gun and so.
It was
the
back
women
in 1849, Springfield Golden Nugget Mine.
And it was like the women. We all
the
found the women.
Found their women
scary. Cast
the
worst so big and hairy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Every car I stole, I was like finding that radio station.
Where's Hillbilly Station?
It fucking slaps that.
Oh, it's great. It slaps.
Oh my God.
My housemate in my first year of uni, Mark Mills. Look at me, like, shout out to Mark Mills. He won't be listening. He's probably got a proper job and a family.
Thanks,
Mark Mills. Big fans. He had Xbox, and he was... So it was my television in the front room. I had this
When did
big,
the Xbox come out?
2001, I want to say.
Really?
Yeah.
And I went to uni in 2003. So he was playing one of the first Star Wars games on that, Knights of...
The Old Republic.
That's it. Yeah, he was playing Knights of the Old Republic. And I was really blown away by it. I hadn't seen a game because I never had an N64 and I'd seen Zelda. Yeah. But this was my first time like watching a game get played.
Yeah.
And he was playing it for so long. And I would like be in the lounge super early because I'm Suze Kempner. I'm a nana and I get up at 6. And I'd be sat there and he'd come in and go, hiya. And then if we sat there for a while, I'd go, you could play Knights of the Old Republic. And I'd like, so I could watch him play. It was like it was our box set. Wow. And he would play it for hours and I'd just watch. I thought it was amazing.
I remember that game was definitely the deciding factor as to whether I would become a lawyer or not. The part where you sort of lawyer, somebody needs a lawyer and you, some space-faring jackass, gets called to be someone's lawyer to defend someone's case. Like, I'll do it. And
This is in the game, right?
This is in the game.
Okay, here's the thing. When you said that, it sounded like you were studying to be a lawyer but ended up playing Knights of the Old Republic too much. Like you were at law school and you were like, I was about to graduate.
Let me clarify.
But then I got really into it.
Yeah, basically I fucked the case and someone was a surprise witness, I didn't interview them and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, dude. This is on you. Later. I'm gonna jump on my ship.
Do you remember that night when it happened? Was there anybody else watching you play? Did you feel
embarrassed? Yeah, I was on my own, I just went,
You didn't have your own little Suze Kent there going, You're gonna play Knights of the Republic. It's got this really good legal storyline at the moment. It's so exciting.
It's real tight.
The idea that you could have played it yourself but didn't want
to. No, it's it. It never would have occurred to me to pick up the controller because I've got no sense of direction.
Is that why you don't play modern games?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know where I'm going. Like, I really tried to play Tomb Raider games and I was so awful at them because I would just be like, I don't know where I'm going. And they're fairly linear. I would just play her home level over and over again. Which is a tutorial level.
Did you lock the butler in the freezer?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah. I'm a hack. I'm a hack from way back. I used to be fucking amazing at the assault course. And then I'd go, right, now I'm going to play the actual game again. And I just get lost so quickly.
I'm almost kind of jealous of that, of Chris having that thing where it's like, you had this gap of almost kind of missing out a lot of the shit that had to be built on top of to play these good games. Because like, I played a lot of crap open world games, like a lot of really bad ones, including one that but looking back, I'm like, that might be slightly culturally insensitive. Maximum Overdrive or Total Overdrive? It's
Maximum Overdrive is that Stephen King film where the trucks all want to kill you, and he wrote it. Like, there's an uncredited screenwriter on it called Cocaine.
yes.
Guys, he did uncredited rewrites on Maximum Overdrive, but have you seen Cocaine's new script?
It is crazy. I want Masood to play that because I was in a game this year.
It's just come out on Switch. I'm going
to
get it.
I want Masood to play it and just be like, yeah, this game's good. And every so often I'm talking in it and he's like, oh, God, it's her.
It's my podcast wife. She's in this game.
Oh, jabber, jabber, jabber.
Takes you right out.
Am I right?
She's always telling me what to, because I'm the ship's computer in this game. So you'll be like, oh, there she is fucking telling me what to do again.
Thing I want to know actually before if we are wrapping up is what film are you going to watch on Christmas? What's the Christmas movie?
Oh,
yeah,
Christmas Day movie.
Probably not going to.
Oh,
Chris is going to watch Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive.
No, I don't think we are going to watch a movie.
No.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Eat a lot.
I might just watch true crime documentaries.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Watch them all day.
That sounds like a treat.
Mum's doing a fucking killer roast because we go to my nana's every single year. Mm. And obviously we can't this year. So we're like, well, we'll be at home and Mum's just going to do a roast dinner. So great. But also you go, well, then the whole day's just building up to EastEnders. And that's my Christmas movie.
it's fair enough.
I've learned that if you don't, not to... If we decide, me and Louisa have that chat, and we're like, oh, okay, and then we'll watch a movie on Christmas Day,
right?
Then it'll become this checkpoint we have to
it's
get to.
It's a thing.
And then it'll be, and we won't have decided which one, and we'll fight, but it's just sort of like...
I just love how you quickly went over that, and then fight and whatever.
Better be just a big old fight.
People are always like, people are so fucking, such losers about Christmas. And it's like, they are.
How much Chris hates Christmas, it's my favorite.
I don't hate Christmas. No. But like, that's not a Christmas dinner without this. It's like, it fucking is. Just accept the fact that people do Christmas differently. People do Christmas dinners differently. Everybody gets all this sort of like, it's not a Christmas dinner without these. But yes, it is. For somebody.
Oh, well, I'm experiencing this with watching these movies. The minute I say, well, I'm going to watch 25 Christmas movies between December 1st and December 25th. And then, you're going to watch Die Hard, you're going to watch Muppets Christmas Carol, you're going to watch Die Hard, you're going to watch Muppets Christmas Carol. And on the first day they said it, I went, oh, probably not, because, like, Die Hard's fine, but whatever. Mm. And Muppets Christmas Carol is great, but I watched it last year. We've got to watch it, it's Christmas. And now every time I tweet, like, hey, sorry, guys, just saw the Christmas Chronicles, it's really great. You're going to watch Muppets Christmas Carol. And the only reason they want me to watch it, surely, is so that I'll just write on Twitter, saw Muppets Christmas Carol. That's all that would happen. She saw it!
Yeah, it's like, what?
The nicest Christmases I've ever had is when I've not put any pressure on myself to do anything you're meant to.
Big
and just sort of like, just let it pass you by. Christmas Day is fucking long as well. No one talks about that.
It's weird. It is a long-ass day.
Well, because normally we go to my nana's, it's an hour and a half. So there's a three-hour round trip involved in Christmas Day, which Mum and I are avoiding this year. Now, Mum's got to go pick up our horse's shit in the morning. I might just go with her at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Little Christmas Day activity. Go.
You've got to go and shovel horse shit. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Go pick up some horse shit.
Christmas ain't Christmas without shoveling horse shit.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm having to get gifts together. I'm having to do me hair nice because it's Christmas. Instead, this time I'm going to look like fucking garbage and I'm going to go with my mum and have a picture of her horse on Christmas Day.
And you know what? When it's not regimented, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
It's
that's
like
it.
this sort of vibe. Shall we do presents now? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We've got to have a champagne now and then we'll do presents at what, 11?
Yeah, that is my Christmas.
Read the
that's
cards. You've got to read all the cards before you open the presents. I want to open the goddamn presents.
Let me open the presents.
Do it in turn. Take turns.
It's not your turn
to open your present yet.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm 30. I'm in my fucking 30s. Like, I'm 35 this year at Christmas. And yet, it's still going to be weird to me that we don't arrive at Nana's at 9, have a cup of tea.
You're going
to
sulk then, about it.
I'm not going to sulk, but I'm going to be like, I don't know what I'm doing.
The Christmas tradition thing, Chris, I'm with you. Because, like, I like the idea of just cooking something nice to eat It doesn't have to be this. There's just this, like, this fucking stress. This stress, and I can feel it at Christmas when people are, like, running around, they're making the turkey, they're like, oh, and they're in the kitchen, and they're stressed out, and they're putting everything together, and it's like, it was supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be having a good time.
Also, this happens every year. Why can you never get it right?
I know.
If it's meant to be a tradition, why haven't you nailed it yet?
Yeah. It's, yeah,
just you would, like, improve.
Find a traditional thing that's as easy as putting it in the oven and sitting down for 3 hours, which is what it should be. Like, there's a reason it's an easy to cook meal. It's like, just chuck it all in. Just fuck it, chuck it all in. It's done. But then there's this fucking, like, we gotta get the bread sauce, and we gotta do this, and it's traditional. We gotta have that. Fuck all that stuff.
Yeah. See, my mum has to do Christmas dinner with Nana, and there's always, like, a real atmosphere.
What's she going to do? What's she going to do for Christmas now you're not
going? Well, yeah, my uncle, my mum's brother is over from Spain.
Oh, did he bubble with her?
Yeah, he came over from Spain and then had to quarantine for 2 weeks, obviously. The idea was we go and see him. We never see him. And now we can't.
Oh.
So, and he's going back on the 28th, if he can leave.
Yeah.
Because we're a fucking petri dish of disease. He might not be allowed back into Spain. He might have to stay here.
Yeah, and it turns out all of those European Union nations can close their borders.
Yeah.
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 They can just turns out
they've got sovereignty. Who?
Yeah, imagine. Who'd my God. Every time something comes in, it's like, the EU have decided we're not allowed into their country anymore and there's a travel ban of the UK. Me and my mum are just like, ha, 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 ha. Look at the state of us. Because... Yeah. This is what the Brexiteers were like. No, no, this is what we want. But then when it's other countries banning us, they go, no, that's not fair.
Yeah, and it's like, no, that's what it is. That's what it is.
that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like, you can't. And they go, no, it's not. No, it is.
That's it.
Christmas.
Yeah, you can't put Christmas on this. You can't fucking go like, but it's Christmas. They don't fucking care.
Well, now it's Christmas.
Chris, could you read that again, but with a little bit more of the accent?
Could do it whinier.
Well, it's Christmas.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
That's Brexit Chris.
It's Christmas, and then we're going to take it away. We can't fucking do anything. First of all, there's no bread sauce. And there's
red sauce?
Could you say it's tradition, Chris?
It's tradition.
This is tradition. And they're messing with it as payback because they're jealous of us. Like, they're jealous.
They're really jealous of all the pale potato people who can't grow strawberries.
Yeah.
Potato people.
That's how Masood sees Brits.
It just slipped out of there, didn't it?
That's the truth.
He mutters it to himself on the bus.
Goddamn potato people.
It cuts to my vision, like what you see out of my point of view, and it just, like, you see a normal person, and then it just, like, fades as a potato instead of a head.
In Masood watching us on Zoom, he just sees two potatoes going.
This is really, 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 really bizarre racism. It just sort of, like, comes out when it, like, in cues and stuff. Fucking can't grow your fucking strawberries.
Yeah, fuck potato people. And it's like,
grow your own veg.
You guys sound like the adults in Charlie Brown. So I'm just guessing when to chime in.
It's only since we started being on Zoom that Masu can tell me and you apart, because our names are at the bottom.
Chris.
And Sarah's like, were you watching Masu? And he's like, one of the potato people are Zooming again. I don't know.
Usually I'd call you Potato 1 and Potato 2, but now you're named.
It's the girl potato. She's talking out.
Mash and roast.
Mash and roast?
I was wondering why you kept calling us that. I thought it was a fun nickname.
It's like, it used to happen at university where people would find out, you know, just be going home for Christmas and stuff, and turn out somebody would have mashed potato on their Christmas dinner, and they'd go,
oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Have I ever told you about the crisps?
Yeah, crisps.
Oh, yes, you did, yes. Yeah. Crisps instead of roast potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Masood, if you're appalled, then you're correct. It was from it's from before I was born.
Okay. But
my nana, I think it was my great-grandmother died, and my great-grandfather was like, she did the roast potatoes.
Oh, no.
But my mum was there, and so was my nana. Like, they know how to do it. So he went, okay, well... She did the roast potatoes, so here's Christmas dinner. And it was a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings, but instead of roast potatoes, crisps.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, my God. I just imagine you just hear, like, the crinkling of a packet opening. Like, is that? Mm.
Are you putting crisps on the plate? No.
Like at a pub where they rip it down the middle and then open it and put it on the table.
Yeah, and they're like, no, it's like a plate.
But it's just one pub-sized packet of ready salted in the middle. Yes. There's not even enough for everybody.
And like, they put serving spoons and they're like, dig in.
Do you want gravy on your crisps?
It's just the granules. You haven't even put hot water in it. Yeah. You put it there and you put...
That's right.
You put the crisp in your mouth with the granule and then you suck on it and it...
Like
melts.
Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
When he makes his cup of tea in the morning.
Yeah. Anyway, this Christmas I'll be doing Christmas the way I want it. I'll be watching true crime and eating crisps.
Just roast chicken crisps. There you go.
Roast chicken crisps.
And whoever's listening, you do Christmas the way you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do tradition.
Don't let anyone pressure you into doing Christmas the way you don't want to do it.
Exactly.
Christmas is meant to be a nice day.
Yeah.
You can have mashed potato, you can have crisps, have curry. My auntie and my uncle, they make a curry sometimes for Christmas dinner because they're sick of having turkey. My auntie and uncle used to make a chicken curry, and they'd always make too much because it's Christmas and you always make too much, and then they'd give leftover chicken curry to their chickens that they kept in there.
Wow! So they get a taste for their brethren? That's fucking insane.
And I was like, because I remember them just throwing that away casually. Funny. And then I was like, oh, do you, so, wait a minute, do they just eat it? Yeah, they don't know.
There you go, ladies. Isn't that how fucking BSE started?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. They just are like, feed the dead cows to the cows. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Like Chris said, do it your way.
We'll be back next week with a proper mystery back on the Hollywood horse.
Back on the Hollywood horse. And that'll be out on bloody New Year's Eve. So you'll have a little New Year's
Eve. Oh,
crazy.
Yeah.
So you can find us all the usual places. We're on Twitch. We are on Twitch tonight, actually.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve stream.
So that's twitch.tv/mysteryontherocks. You can also find us on all the regular places. We're on Instagram and Twitter at mysteryontherocks. Rocks spelled ROX. You can also email us, mysteryontherocks, that's spelled ROCKS, mysteryontherocks@gmail.com. Cool. Thanks, everybody. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Have a very little Christmas. Bye.
Bye.
It truly is a Merry Christmas.
It really is
a Merry. And then the sleigh lifts up.
Yeah.
And then...
And I'm like, oh my God, it's so powerful.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's Body Care Breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code SUMMER.